This episode is brought to you by Splash Refresher. Splash Refresher spices up my daily water intake by putting fun and hydration in one. Because as a mom, I already have my hands full. Every Splash Refresher flavor is delicious, bright, flavorful, and zero calories. I don't waste time on flavorless water I don't enjoy. I just drink Splash and I like it.
My favorite flavor is the lemon. It really does taste like lemonade.
My favorite is the mandarin orange flavor.
There's a flavor for everyone to enjoy.
Find Splash Refresher today on Amazon and Instacart or at your local Walmart, Sam's Club, or Kroger. Hello and welcome to Childproof by Betches Media. I'm Tori Phantom.
And I'm Gwenna Lathland. This episode is dedicated to all the parents who can finally put the decorations back up because your ankle biter is big enough not to kill themselves with them.
And to the rest of us who never once intentionally decorated a room at all and just sort of go with whatever vibe is happening.
Both ways are valid.
Absolutely valid now. Let's start the timer.
All right.
So, did I tell you what showed up at my door last week?
In a several package? Times, but this could be anything, really.
It could be any. Yeah, in a lot of packages.
Was it a package of gold stars? A large amount of caramel apple suckers?
Why are you like this?
50 pounds of flour. These are, by the way, these are all things that I have shipped to my friends because they made a flippant comment one time.
Yeah. You learn when you're Gwenna's friend to be very cautious about what you say and how you say it so that you don't get a random shipment of things you never wanted.
In bulk.
Anyway, I did end up with a bulk item at my door because Jim ordered an obscene amount of playing cards. Just like 10 packs.
Is he like building card houses?
No, there was just a cool set and every deck had like a different card face. I don't know. I don't know why he bought so many cards. Okay.
What's he doing with them?
Well, he's teaching the kids to play poker.
As everyone does.
Yeah. And
it makes sense for the oldest. The little one, I have questions. Look, there was a whole Bluey episode about this. Yeah,
the eldest is not into the poker at all, but my middleest is oddly good at poker, but she doesn't understand that she's good at it, so she just keeps clearing house on accident. But we ended up in card games because, you know, we play a lot of board games and card games at our house. Like, we have Uno. At least twice a day, we play Uno. We're always playing Connect Four. Like, we settled debates with Connect Four. We're not flipping a coin. We're not doing rock, paper, scissor. Play me in Connect Four. And then they wanted to play a regular playing card game. And I was like, yeah, totally. Yeah. Let's play Go Fish because we had playing cards.
So many playing cards, apparently.
No, this was before. I already had the playing. I had playing cards. And then...
Now you have more. Many, like, many more.
What if we get like 10 more decks of playing cards? For why? I don't know. But we have them. And now they're a part of our family room. Just a collection of playing cards. And you can only play with the one deck at a time. So.
Okay. So you call it the family room. Do you differentiate between a family room, a living room, and a playroom?
So... it's evolved over time because, okay, like in the house we're in now, we do have a living room, which is the one with the TV in it. That's what I call that. And then we have the family room, which is a much smaller room that I intentionally created this space to be for our family, to be a family. So there's no TV. Like, the centerpiece is the coffee table with seating around it, because when you're sitting there, your focus is on each other. You're not sitting in a semicircle around big screen. So that is our family room, which is kind of also a playroom, but I've tried playrooms before. What do you think about playrooms?
They're a pass for me. I have never liked them for my family. That is an important caveat. I typically hate caveating things, but for my family, it's harder to see what's in there. It's harder to see what is and is not getting played with. Too much space, always for my family, having too much space will result in too much stuff.
Oh yeah. Oh, absolutely.
That, like, was just, I know this about my family and myself.
I tried, and two out of the four, last houses we've lived in. We moved a lot. We moved a lot. But we tried a playroom once and, you know, it turned into a disaster. That was my littlest was like an infant. And so this was really for my, at the time, early toddler and preschool age kid. And it was a disaster. And then at our last home, we had this sunroom that kind of had a slanted floor because it was an addition that was done poorly. And we didn't really know what to do with that space. So we're like, oh, we'll make it a playroom. And again, it was a disaster because it is very hard to keep those spaces up. Yeah. But I remember like being a kid. You ever go to a friend's house when you were a kid who had a playroom, but it was like nice?
Yeah.
And they were like, yeah. Oh, like it was always the rich friend, you know? Uh-huh. And so when I was a kid, I was like, ooh, playroom. If I ever have kids, I want to have a playroom. So I tried it. And that's not, my executive doesn't function well enough for that.
Yeah, no, I had a friend who didn't just have a playroom. They had a play floor. Now, what this was, no. It sounds more extravagant than it is. What it was is they had a semi-finished attic that you could stand up in part of the attic, essentially where the roof gabled to its highest point. You could stand up there. So for kids who are half the size of adults, you could stand up in most of the room. And yeah, then you
and
just line
like
the edges
with shelves.
Kids like being
in small spaces.
Yeah. So
it's
like
fun.
They had
like a
play
fort.
Floor. It was the third floor of their house. It was a finished attic. It was just a small portion of it. But man, that felt... And like this friend's mom was the homeroom mom and the soccer mom. She was the one who always had the orange slices. That was just the type of mom. So this play floor was always immaculate. And she had toy rotations before toy rotations were popular and like books in these special shelves. And like everything looked like the home edit had taken over because it was just this big rainbow across the room.
I feel so intimidated by those spaces. Not because I don't like them, but because I can't achieve it.
I can't do that right.
That's like our family room kind of doubles as a playroom. And again, that was intentional because one of the things that I realized about my failed playrooms was that I was not going to go clean them. I didn't want to. The kids would, you know, they would dig out to the bottom of their toy box to get that one thing. But everything else has now been scattered. And now the room is messy and they don't want to play in it. So like it just... It wasn't working. And the thing is that I would often realize that the kids didn't want to play in the playroom because they wanted to be with me. So they'd say, well, mom, come hang out in the playroom. And there's nothing for me in here. It's all toys. And so our family room, it does not house any toys. Like there's no toy boxes in there. Now I have my bookshelf. I have all their books. We have all of our craft supplies. We got beads, markers, colored pencils, Spirograph, origami, coloring books, sketchbooks. We have instruments. It's everything that you could possibly want to do in a creative way is in this space.
Yeah.
And they're allowed to bring their toys into that space if they want to play, because what I realized is that their play space, they just wanted to be in proximity to me. That didn't mean that they always wanted me to play with them, but they just wanted to be in the same space. And so I wanted to create a space that we all wanted to be in. And I did. And it works really well for us. Like that was kind of, it's like, I'm proud of it. I am proud of that space.
See, we don't have a playroom and we don't really have what I would call a family room. At best, we have an activity room and that's where all of Jack and Mai's music stuff is. I've got a little desk set up for crafts. He's got a little desk set up for, he builds airplane models. The gaming systems are all in that room. So there is a TV in there, but the only time that TV is on is when someone is playing Minecraft or World of Warcraft or something. Jack's gaming system is in there, but then also some of my filming equipment for my work on YouTube and TikTok. Like that, it's an activity room and you're typically in there for a specific purpose. And we are currently making yet another carve out in this room for the kids' art activities. Because up until this point, the kids had had all of their stuff in their room because I've always arranged my house that every person has a deserved space. Right. So your bedroom is your bedroom. And when we were able to move into this house, I was able to give every single kid a deserved space. So every kid got a room because we're very financially privileged to have been able to afford this. But every kid has the room and all of your stuff goes in your room and all of your stuff goes in your room and all of your stuff goes and all of my stuff goes in my room or mm-hmm. in an area that we as a family designated the activity space. And then I also have the living room. There's a TV in there too, but we do a lot more conversating in there because right. it is the central core of the house. You can see the kitchen and the dining room. You can see all the doors into the house. That works for us. And there is now, finally, there is surprisingly little kid stuff in the living room.
Really?
And the activity room is just now getting some kid stuff moved into it as their activities now match the energy and intent of the activity room. Does that make sense?
That does. Yeah. Yeah. And I think, you know, for us with our family room, that's really an activity room as well.
Yeah.
You know, and that's, we have like a Lego table in there. It's not, it's mm-hmm. like, you know, those little toddler tables that you get.
Yeah.
We've had one of those for years and it wasn't being used for anything in specific, but it like, it's a decent mm-hmm. table. So I just plopped it down next to the coffee table and now it's the Lego table. And there's like yeah. a bucket of Legos underneath. But like, I have my crochet stuff in the same room.
Yeah.
So if the kids are doing their activities and beating and I'm sitting there and crocheting, it's an activity space.
It's togetherness.
Did you know that summer is so close?
I've been trying desperately not to think about it.
And our kids are going to be home from sunup to sundown for several months. I love them so much. I love spending time with them. I have so many exciting things planned. But we're also going to have a lot of downtime. We need things to do for the rainy day that are going to keep them engaged and help them to be creative. And I found the solution, KiwiCo.
Oh, it's raining and gross outside? Cool. Would you like to dig up dinosaurs or build a windmill? Those are the Kiwi kits we have.
KiwiCo encourages kids to get outside, explore, and stay off their screens. Awesome projects from the summer adventure series like the Bottle Rocket Kit, where kids build an actual bottle rocket, help to turn outdoors into a playground of learning and fun. We've made the bottle rocket and it was incredibly fun.
You'll be surprised at how high quality the materials are too. These are real engineering, science, and art projects for children. As a parent, it can be hard to find creative ways to keep your children busy and challenged. KiwiCo does the legwork for you so you can spend quality time tackling projects together.
Build the best summer ever with KiwiCo. Get 20% off on your summer adventure series at KiwiCo.com with promo code ChildproofSummer. That's 20% off your summer adventure at KiwiCo.com. Promo code ChildproofSummer.
Once more, KiwiCo.com, promo code ChildproofSummer.
The weather's getting warmer, so it's time to stow away those jackets and sweaters and break out the shorts and tees. I wanted to update my wardrobe for the long haul without spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince. Now I've got a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking effortlessly chic year after year.
Okay, yes, it's time to put away the sweaters unless you married a polar bear. I definitely married a polar bear, and he keeps this house at a number I don't want to say because it's too low. My saving grace is that I get to wear the softest cotton sweater. It's so cozy and it's bulky and I love it and I get to use it all year round.
Quince sweaters are so good. Quince has amazing items like premium European linen dresses, blouses and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless 14 karat gold jewelry, and so much more.
The best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Quince cuts out the middleman by partnering directly with top factories and passes that savings on to us.
And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/childproof for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/childproof to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
One last time, quince.com/childproof. So we have a Lego table, but it lives in my son's room. Because of all the five of us, he has the biggest Lego appreciation. Now, I like Legos just fine. Abby has built Legos. Jack, of course, has built Legos. But the biggest fan of Legos in the house right now is the boy child. So the Lego table is the boy child's and it stays in the room. Now, everyone can play with it, but we have to ask permission to play with the Legos. Now, I have my own Lego sets. In fact, I have a Hocus Pocus Lego sitting on my shelf right next to me. I built that on my own. I didn't use anything from his Lego table. But if I just want to free play with Legos, I actually have to ask my five-year-old son, hey, buddy, can I play Legos with you?
Yeah.
And most of the time he says, yeah. The same goes for his sisters. Hey, buddy, can I play with your Legos? Yeah. It's his. So he gets to grant permission for other people to play with them or with him. And that permission can be revoked because it's his. The Legos are his.
Yeah.
If you want your own Legos, yeah, we'll absolutely buy you Legos. And those will live in a space that we'll create for your Legos in your room. But if you add the frozen Lego set, if those get dumped into the boy child's Lego table, you're turning over ownership to him because those right. are in his Lego table now.
Right. Now, okay, that makes sense.
At any point, the boy child can be like, no, I don't want to play. And okay, I'm going to support you. I am going to have some questions as to why. I want to make sure you're setting good boundaries and not arbitrary ones. But all right, let's discuss.
Yeah, see, and for us, you know, two of my kids do share a room. And so mm-hmm. it's not so easy to split spaces. Now, I did get them loft beds that have like a little fort underneath. Did mm-hmm. I use them? No. No. I was like, those are so cool.
When the littles were sharing a room, same. And no, it didn't matter. I carved yeah. out a space for them. They just didn't care.
Yeah. Yeah. And so what I see happen is typically if someone wants alone time or alone playtime, they'll just go into their room. Because mm-hmm. we're usually, most of us are just in our family room doing the whatever it is we're doing in that moment. And it's a lot of parallel play. And mm-hmm. so when it comes to things like sharing, I think we approach that totally differently because for us, most things are just community. Mm-hmm. There are exceptions to that rule, of course, because yeah. everybody has their special thing. That's these are my trinkets. You can't touch my trinkets.
My trinkets. It's about our trinkets.
So there's...
Wow, we just millennialed so hard right there. I'm so sorry.
So hard. Did you cringe? Ow. I think they've cringed. They all cringed.
That hurt my back a little bit. Okay.
But there's they have their trinkets. And for mm-hmm. my eldest, that's really her crystal and rock collection, which is
I was going to say, it's her rocks.
It's so vast. There's so many.
So many rocks.
Why
does so much of parenthood involve rocks?
She started a gem trade system at school through like a slideshow that she's invited people to. And there's a whole system of rules so that people can trade gems for different ones. Like, she's an ambitious kid. I looked at the slides and was like, there's a lot of rules here. There's a lot of rules. Good luck. I said, do you want some advice on this? She said, no. And I said,
no.
All right.
Okay.
Good
Have
luck.
Fun, then, all right. I guess.
But I guess it's working. So, but my youngest, her thing is her special stuffed animals. And those mm-hmm. live on her bed, right? But even the special things, if someone asks, you can grant someone permission. But if you just take mm-hmm. that person's special thing and that person now gets mad at you, they're allowed to be mad at you. You took their yeah. thing that's been discussed. The boundary has been set and you took their thing. They're mm-hmm. allowed to be mad about it. But generally, a lot of things in our house are just kind of seen as community. I always say this is our home. And really kind of like, you know, when you're a kid, I don't know if you heard this, but like, this is my house. You're under my roof. These are my rules. It's my house. Hated that. And so I always tell my kids, like, this is our house. This is our space.
I had an almost opposite reaction to that same, this is my house and my rules and my way or the highway. I did get a little bit of that growing up. And so mine was, no, this is our house and you have your space and your stuff inside it. That's yours. You can look at that item and go, that's mine. That's mine to decide where it goes. That's mine to decide who plays with it. That's mine to decide that I'm done playing with it, that I'm no yeah. longer in love and I'm going to pass it on to another kid who needs to love it as hard as I did. So we don't have a lot of community property. Now, board games, yeah, those are community property. There are some really obvious things that are community property.
Right.
And of course, the community facilities like the bathrooms and the kitchen and the laundry room, like, yeah, that's a different thing. But as far as the stuff goes, that's yours. You have the autonomy to do with it what you want. Now, I'm going to help you make good decisions on how to care for it properly.
Yeah.
You know, and I may have to intervene and be like, yeah, you need to clean that part this way or it's not going to work. Like, I'm not just like throwing stuff at them and going, good luck, figure it out. Like, I'm still actively parenting.
Yeah. See, well, I think that one of the things that contributes to the way that we do this differently, too, is I think it makes more sense in my family for things to be community, because I have three daughters who are closer in age. And specifically, most of that community property is between my younger two, who are only a year and a half apart and share nearly every interest. So,
yeah,
of course, like they share a space, they share a room, they share the toys because they both like them all. Now, there's certain things that are their special items. But generally, right. I think it just that kind of it makes sense that that's the pattern we fell into, because they do have things like, well, this toy was given to this kid for this event, or this one got this. And so it is technically her toy, but there's not this ownership over it. Like, well, you have to ask me to use it, because it just it lives in their shared space. And if it's their special thing, that is usually where the loft bed fort comes into play. They shove it under there.
It's so, mine. And you know, I had that hadn't occurred to me, but I have two daughters and they are 11 years apart. The children that are closest in age are stark and polar opposites from each other. Not only are they a boy and a girl, they're only 2 minutes different in age, but I have a boyiest boy and a girliest girl. And I use these terms very carefully, but I've got a princess unicorn riding, and then I've got a Hulk and He-Man riding a dump truck digger. Like, they're as far apart as they can be on the personality. So no, it does make sense just from the breakout and arrangement of our family why that is your space and leave your oldest sister's stuff alone. That is your space. Leave your brother's stuff alone. You like,
right. And that's exactly it. And with my eldest, who does have a bit of an age gap, not nearly the same, she tends to have more things that are just hers. And her little sisters don't tend to bother them because they don't make sense for their age group, right? Like, I have a middle schooler, so her middle schooler things are not going to be interesting to lower elementary kids. So it just kind of works out that way.
No, and it does make sense because I have a high schooler, and to a kindergartner, everything a high schooler has encountered and engaged with is just automatically cool. So even if functionally they don't care, but it's the high schoolers and that's like almost an adult.
Right. Yeah. And I think that makes sense that these dynamics have kind of developed. And I think you've had to be more intentional about it because you don't want the kids fighting in each other's spaces over that one tiny thing where it's like, no, this is your stuff. That's why you have your stuff. And his stuff is his and her stuff is hers. That makes a lot of sense. And I think both of us are right in it.
This is exactly what we mean when we say there's no one right way to parent. There are several wrong ways. There are several inefficient ways, but there's no one right way to do it.
And I will say the only person I think who has a very dedicated, this is my space, keep out of it, is me. It's my room. And it's not, they're never allowed in it, but my room is the only space in the house where they do have to have permission to go in there. And typically they're going to have supervision. And that's because I have things that are very valuable or very valuable just because they're sentimental to me from, you know, my grandmother who passed away. I have a lot of stuff in there that is not good for kids, you know, just like that's my bathroom is where I keep all the cleaning chemicals. So that's my space and you do need permission to enter it. And I don't really go in there a lot when the kids are awake or at home anyway. So it's not, I mean, the rats do live in there. So there is a lot of rat loving that happens. But again, they're not just like running in there and going through my stuff because it's my stuff. That's where my trinkets are.
Right.
Throwing it back to 10 minutes ago.
See, and I'm actually recording in my, this is my office and it's a small room and there's some expensive equipment in here. There's all of like the data and information and props that I'm using. A lot of times there's like SponCon in here, sponsorship content, like the stuff they sent me that I have to film about. So like, this is my protected space. We don't come in here, but it's also my creative space. So I've decorated it in a way that, that stimulates my brain. So even the dogs have to ask permission to come into this room. Jack has to ask permission to come into this room.
No, I mean, and that makes sense though, because when you have stuff, it's like kids are not maliciously breaking your stuff, but they are breaking your stuff.
Yes.
Like it's going to get broken. And we had a conversation at my house recently because one of my kids accidentally broke part of Jim's super fancy gaming chair. Now it was fixable, right? But when when we first encountered this issue, and he was upset. You know, he wasn't like mean or yelling, but his thing got broken and he's like, how did this happen? You know? And my kid felt so bad and they had a talk. And this kid and I, we operate on the same wavelength. And you have to be so oddly specific. And I said, it's helpful with her, right? Because again, he works two jobs. So a lot of the parenting is falling on my shoulders just because I'm the one who's here. I said to him, I said, with this one, you have to give her a very specific list of rules. And he said, well, the rule is just sit on it like a normal chair, like don't twist yourself into weird positions. And I said, no, you have to get more specific about what you can and cannot do in this chair. If you don't want her to touch the adjustment knobs, that has to be a specific rule. Also, write them down. Like, and this isn't like in a condescending way. It's literally because of the work. And this is more recent over the last couple of weeks. Her and I together have figured out that she does really good with written rules. Like she will ask me, Mom, I'm struggling remembering what the boundary is here. Can you write it down? And so I was like, let me share this with you that she shared with me. And your stuff's still going to get broken. Maybe. I don't know. We'll see.
Spring has sprung, and that means it's time for spring cleaning. Whether that means stocking up on cleaning supplies or swapping out your winter clothes for new spring clothes, make sure you're using Ibotta and get real cash back with every purchase.
Ibotta is a free app that gives you the most cash back every time you shop on hundreds of items from groceries to beauty supplies to toys. So you can make sure you're shopping smarter, not harder, no matter what you're purchasing.
The average Ibotta user earns $256 per year. That could cover the cost of a spring wardrobe refresh, new warm weather bedding, or a flight for that summer getaway.
Other apps give you points that don't amount to much. With Ibotta, just add your offers in the app, upload your receipt, and get real cash that you can cash out to your bank account, PayPal, or gift cards.
Join the over 50 million users and earn cash back every time you shop from over 2,700 brands and retailers, including all of your favorite grocery stores, Lowe's, Macy's, Sephora, Best Buy, and more. Right now, Ibotta is offering our listeners $5 just for trying Ibotta by using the code CHILDPROOF when you register.
Just go to the App Store or Google Play Store and download the free Ibotta app to start earning cash back and use code CHILDPROOF. That's Ibotta in the Google Play or App Store and use code CHILDPROOF.
By the time baby number two comes, you feel superhuman. You totally have it all figured out. You got this. But then the reality sets in. It's more than twice the work and can sometimes feel like absolute chaos. It's obviously not always going to go right, but you'll take any opportunity to make it a little easier. The Honest Company has a new line of calming products for the whole family, so your little ones will go down easier and you can have a moment of honest relaxation. The Calm Collection is a line of dreamy and calming lavender products to help make you and your baby's bedtime routine smoother. They have lavender wipes to clean up sticky hands and messes, a Calm lavender bath and body set that's both gentle enough for babies and soothing self-care for moms, lightweight lavender body oil to help wind down before bedtime, and fun purple printed pajamas made with 100% certified organic cotton. The sooner your little ones go to bed, the sooner you are able to relax. For a little while, anyway. Their Calm Lavender Collection is made with lavender essential oils that help calm babies before bed, and their super absorbent overnight diapers have up to 12 hours of leak protection. With a focus on sustainability and clean products, The Honest Company works with toxicologists at their in-house lab to create eco-friendly, safe, and effective products you can feel good using. Body products are naturally derived and designed for all skin types, while their diapers are made with plant-based materials that are ultra-soft and super absorbent. Good for your whole family and your environment. Try Honest for yourself. Shop at Target, Amazon, Walmart, and honest.com. How do you handle community spaces? Things like the kitchen. Yes. Every time I bring this up, like community spaces like the kitchen, I immediately think, yeah, but I kick a bunch of people out of the kitchen when I'm in it all the time. So is it really a community space? It's serving everyone in the family, but I'm the one operating it 90% of the time.
I would say that's one of those situations where you're like the manager. Yeah. Like it is a community space. Everyone can be in that space, but you manage that space. Yeah. So when you say handle it, how do you mean?
Well, like, so whose responsibility is it to clean? Is it ye who makes dirty makes clean? Is there like a schedule where it's your turn to do this? It's my turn to do this?
Neither of those things. So I don't... I don't follow the idea of if you made the mess, you clean it. under a lot of circumstances. Now, there are times where absolutely like, oh, you spilled your milk. Go ahead. Just grab a paper towel, clean it up. Like, yeah. I might help you if I'm not busy with something else. But if I got food on the stove, I just grab the paper towel, clean up your mess. But when it comes to spaces that have been lived in all day and now it's, you know, it's untidy, I'm not going to say, well, you played with that toy, so pick up all the things you use, because I think that can kind of lend itself to, well, I didn't take that one out. I didn't do this. I didn't do that. Mm-hmm. So it's one of those times where it comes up for me of like our house, our responsibility. And so say my family room is out of order. What I will do is delegate tasks and I'll say, you handle laundry, because somehow there's always laundry in that room. I don't know. But like, you get clothes that are out, and it's usually socks, because my kids torment me about my two socks or no socks rule. They will just taunt me and walk out with one sock on. So the sock goes somewhere. And like, you handle garbage, right? Because that's our craft room. So like, maybe there's scraps around. You get the toys back in your room. And I am going to sweep, right? And so it's that we are coming together to do this together for our shared space. And it's just kind of, we're working on our own things at the same time. So there's that sense of togetherness still. With the kitchen, it's a little bit different. My eldest, that is her responsibility to empty the dishwasher. Other things, my littlest really, really, really loves to clean the walls. I don't know what that is, but if I'm like wiping down counters, she's like, can I have a wipe? I'll clean the walls. And I'm like, they're not dirty. Sure. Like, you just did that. Okay, go ahead and clean the wall for me. Thank you. those tasks, because the kitchen, like, you're going to encounter possibly sharp knives or a heavy, awkward pan that's hard to put away. Or can you even see the top of the counter to wipe it down yet? So the kitchen tasks are more for people over 4.5 feet.
Yeah,
that's how we typically handle that one. How do you do it?
So we have community spaces or community responsibility. And we do a little bit of delegation, but it is typically... So right now, the dishes, again, the kitchen is one of the ones that gets kind of tricky because it stays sort of in isolation. It is a community space and the littles are growing into access to that. Sometimes I bring them in there to help cook. Sometimes they get to help prep. They do now, they help clear the table, because as they're turning 5, we're introducing more and more chores. They've been cleaning their own rooms since they were ambulatory, since they could crawl. Yeah. And that at the time looked more like, all right, help mommy put this in there. And I'm just like holding their hand on mine while I drop a thing in the, they weren't cleaning it. I was still cleaning it. They were just actively watching while I cleaned their stuff.
But that's still, it's teaching them. It's setting the foundation.
Yeah. So they clean their own rooms. Actually, we had a breakthrough in the cleaning of their own space. This isn't a community space. I've derailed myself here. We had a breakthrough and them cleaning their own rooms. It turns out we had the wrong toy box. We have now played a very successful game of toy box roulette in my family. We had the cloth bins and the rack, and they all sat on like kind of like a bookshelf, but it had the cloth bins where you could put
like the cubes.
We had those. Yeah, we had those and they did not work.
Anything that's a drawer where you can't see in it doesn't work in my family. Yeah. I recently changed all our craft supplies to baskets that sit in a cart because then we can see everything.
Then we switched to the big plastic tub things. Like, it's the big chest that all of the toys can go in. Same problem. They would get to the first inch of toys and then nothing below that existed, clearly.
Right.
I can't find my dinosaur.
Or like we had a big wooden toy box and it was an issue because again, everything would get thrown in there without any organization and then you can't find anything. Right.
And then you can't find anything. And they'd be unwilling to dig further to find it. Even though I'd walk in and go, that T-Rex, the one slightly under the doll dress, is that the one you were missing? But we did finally find the toy box that worked for us. And it is the bins, but it's the bins that rest at an angle on these little shoe rack looking bars. Oh my gosh, something magical happened. I knew it would work for the boy child because of who the boy child is as a person.
Yeah.
The girl child, I had questions though, because she is my daughter, therefore she is chaos comprised into a human. So I was like, this isn't, I don't know if this, no, It was so effective.
We are still trying to figure it out here. We have those same bins and it's not.
It doesn't
work.
It's
still chaos. Not yet. I'm figuring out their room. That's always, it's so fun when you figure out the specific thing that works and it's like magic and you're like.
Now, here's the thing. I'm going to be realistic. Will this work forever? No, we're not done with the toy box thing. But for right now, I made a promise to myself to really celebrate the good moments because our human brains tend to only remember the bad. So I'm really trying to hold on to the good. We figured out the toy box thing for this one specific semester of kindergarten. I don't know how long it's going to work, but for one semester in kindergarten, we fixed the toy box issue.
In this specific moment, it's clean.
It's good. It's working. No, but for community spaces, we do have this. We all contribute to clearing the table. Not necessarily that you just pick up your own plate, but we serve dinner family style. So yes, mm-hmm. you have to go take your own plate because you did specifically use that. You specifically made that mess. But we all ate from the same bowls. We all used the serving spoon. So we're all going to work together to go put the leftovers in containers, to rinse out the bowls, to like, yeah. It's a family activity. We have a reset day, Saturdays or Sundays, kind of depends on what else is going on and how many birthday parties we RSVP to. but we have a cleaning day where we work together on the bathrooms. There is a lot of wall scrubbing out of the five-year-olds because it's a safe
they
thing.
They really like scrubbing walls.
They really too. Like washing
they
walls.
They really like that. Yeah, we kind of just have the moment. I will just kind of look mm-hmm. around and be like, this is visually overwhelming. And then I call a family meeting and I say, yeah. Here's what we're doing. We're all going to take a break from what we were doing and we're going to knock this mm-hmm. out real quick. We'll throw on some music and we'll make it fun. But the clearing the table, that is something that we also do. That is one place where you are responsible for your own mess. And so yeah. my kids, if they walk away from the table without clearing their plate, I will mm-hmm. yell child's name. Are you done eating? I couldn't yeah. tell. I couldn't tell. Are you done? And then they just like materialize and they take care of it. I was like, oh, okay, yeah, I thought you were. But what I noticed is because I have this very attitude of our space, right? Because I've had that, well, I didn't take that out. Yeah, but if you did and someone else picked it up for you, wouldn't that be nice? Like, I know mm-hmm. you didn't take that specific thing out, but you're already cleaning up these other things right here. So why don't you just grab mm-hmm. that one too? And that tends to bleed over into other things where I'm not reminding them of that. Like one day, literally out of all of my kids, only one of them cleared her own plate and it was my youngest. Mm-hmm. And she looked at the plate on the other plates on the table. She just walked over and went, I'll just get it for him this time. Okay. That's
but gentle parenting doesn't work.
No, never.
Yeah, see, and I think because I knock on wood, my desk is wood. I have not really had but I didn't get that out. And when I sit and think about it, I wonder if it's because when we do those cleanups, when the toys have wandered out and it's time to put them back away, I go, "All right, get your stuff." And they immediately, even if they're not the ones who pulled it out, they just go get their own toys and take it back to their space. I've never once, heavy knocking, okay? I have never once had, well, I didn't get that dinosaur out. Okay, but it's your dinosaur, so will you go put it back in the room? It's just, yeah, my sister got my dinosaur out because I said she could play with my T-Rex, but it's time to clean up, so I'm going to get my T-Rex and I'm going to put it back in my room.
Right. And again, this is the same thing of we do things wildly differently, but it's
wildly
both
differently.
Working.
Yes.
Because in my house, it's, hey, it doesn't matter who took it out. Like, we're all working together. These are the tasks. Like, this is your task today is to pick up toys. Mm-hmm. And for you, well, they know where their toys go because you are better at creating systems. So when they get their stuff, they know where their stuff goes. Hydrating doesn't have to be boring. Splash Refresher spices it up by putting fun and hydration in one. Because as a mom, I already have my hands full. Splash Refreshers are delicious, bright, flavorful, and available in 5 craveable flavors. It has 0 sugar, 0 calories, and a splash of sweetness for a hydrating and delicious beverage you'll come back to again and again.
My favorite flavor is the lemon. It really does taste like lemonade. So I'm getting hydrated and it just feels like I'm drinking lemonade.
Splash Refresher perfectly blends refreshing fruit flavors with just a little bit of sweetness, all with zero sugar and zero calories.
Available in 5 craveable flavors, wild berry, acai grape, pineapple mango, lemon, and mandarin orange. Splash Refresher is there to satisfy your need for hydration with a little flavor. There's a flavor for everyone to enjoy.
They are delicious, bright, flavorful, and hydrating, and zero calories. So you can have fun flavored water without any guilt. Consider your hydrated self thriving.
Find Splash Refresher today on Amazon and Instacart, or at your local Walmart, Sam's Club, or Kroger.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now here's the other thing that I've actually been really conscious about. The space and how my family interacts with the space is the aesthetic. I really did not predict at any point prior to a few years ago that I would be an aesthetic bitch. Now, I'm not a sad beige or millennial gray aesthetic bitch. That's not my aesthetic. That's not the only aesthetics that are possible. But I do, I carry a very Danish mid-century modern vibe in my decor choices and my colors. And I'm super excited that my kids are watching me do that, because when I started doing that, I had no frame of reference, because my mom was, for very good reason, just the least amount of aesthetic possible. Like, Tori, yeah. My mom in my childhood makes you look like Coco Chanel.
I don't know who that is.
I didn't figure you did, but the audience does.
I'll Google it later.
Fashion designer. Fashion okay. Designer. French.
I don't know. My aesthetic is trash animal. My aesthetic is a random man handed me a spare change at the Dollar General and said, I hope this helps. That happened last summer. It's a real story.
Followers. I hope this helps. Did you take it or did you give it back?
I didn't know what to, I just kind of froze and I just kind of stood there for a minute. So what is happening? Like, it was one of those things where it was like a really nice gesture, but it was very confusing also. I don't think it went in my kid's piggy bank, but yeah, like my aesthetic in my house, you've watched this slowly happen, because like I grew up in a not great situation or a home. My mom was really into like French chefs though. So those were like everywhere. I don't know.
Was it the chubby snowman ones? The very rotund ones?
Oh yeah. Come on. It was the 90s and 2000s. Yeah.
I know. So, I know.
And so I have been trying, because I moved a lot, right? Over the last 10 years, I think I moved 7 or 8 times. And so I never felt a purpose in settling in, because it felt so unstable. It felt like if I do this, it's just another thing I'll have to move, because I'm never going to have that stability. And now I do. I finally bought the home and I have the stability. And so it's like, I'm like a baby interior decorator. And like that, most people, if you follow me on social media, you can see my mural that's coming together, inspired by the Yellow Submarine and Peter Max. The whole room is very 70s groovy aesthetic.
Yes.
Kind of. It's not there yet. I don't have a lot of stuff. I'm slowly figuring out how to decorate my space in a way that I like it, and not trying to meet an expectation of how I think homes are supposed to look. Because I walk into those homes that look like these. When you walk into someone's home and you're like, how do you keep your house like a showroom? It's so nice.
Yeah. It looks like a Home and Garden magazine spread. Yeah. I love it. Yeah. How?
How do you do it? And I realized, because I used to feel like, well, I'm never going to be able to do that, so I shouldn't bother. And then I realized, I don't want that for me. I love that for other people. I think they have beautiful homes, but that's, again, trash animal aesthetic. Okay. I have 5 rats. I'm not meant to have the Home and Garden spread. So I have a SpongeBob wall in my kitchen, and it's been such a healing experience to be like, this whole house is our space that we as a family can decide what to do with it and how
what it looks like
to learn how to decorate. But the aesthetic is still. You ever seen a possum?
Well, see, and just the inside of a very cozy trash can
where I keep my trinkets.
It's well done. It's trinkets. When I first started like considering what aesthetic is, I was very anti. If you have an aesthetic, you're not. It's bad. It's selfish. Like I had this sort of internalized
that
monologue.
Very hipster.
Demonizing aesthetic.
Right.
But then I realized I was like, no. I just don't want an aesthetic that is not kid friendly. Like the way I designed the aesthetic leaves room for unicorn backpacks and Minecraft swords. I have fandoms hidden throughout my mid-century modern living room.
I love how you've done that. Like Gwenna has a secret TARDIS on her front door.
I do. It's great. Also have Jurassic Park hiding in there. Star Trek is hiding in there. The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. But like, it means that if someone walks in and my kids' backpacks and a selection of their toys are all over, it still looks like, oh yeah, this is just how life is lived here. It's not dirty. It's not chaos. It's not unkempt. It's just literally being lived in. And it feels like it's supposed to be. My kids get to watch me nurture my aesthetic in a healthy way, but not just one. Like the main part of my house, yes, does have a very specific decor. But my eldest daughter's aesthetic doesn't look anything like mine. So her room doesn't even look like it belongs in the same house. And that's fine.
Yeah.
The boy and the girl child, they're just getting to the point where I'm willing to begin to do more than like, well, here's a poster for your wall. Because tastes for kids shift so much.
So rapidly, too.
So rapidly. Like, I recognize that you really love Paw Patrol right now, but I am not doing your room.
I don't think this one's going to last forever.
This one's not going to stick, buddy.
the aesthetic in our home is very similar. It's like, we live here, right? Like, my house is tidy, but it's not perfect, right? Like, there is signs that there is so many activities happening. And that's a thing that I think, it doesn't work for everyone, right? Like my family room, I think you could never function in that space because everything is out. You know, like our cart with the art supplies sits next to the couch. It's not put away. That's where it lives.
Tori, I love you. Your art cart would drive me beyond the brink of insanity because that doesn't look away. That just looks down.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Right. And so for us, though, because we spend so much time in this space, it's like, why would we take the extra time to keep putting it away and pulling it back out and putting it away and pulling it back out, putting it away? That's what we use this every single day. So it just it is away by being right there. And to other people, that might not make sense. But again, it works. That's functional for us because that's how we utilize the space. I mean, some of my wall decor is literally my two youngest. They just draw pictures and grab the tape and they hang them up all over the house.
Yeah.
And I love it.
Yeah.
So that would drive some folks crazy. And that's okay. I love that their stuff is all over my walls because they work hard on it. It's not good.
Well, and see for for us, the idea of put it away, not down is, there are some things that we get into all the time. Some of our craft and coloring stuff is constantly out, almost daily. And the days that it wasn't out, it's just because none of us were home all day. That's the only reason it didn't see the light of day that day. But for me, I know that I struggled so hard with time management. It crippled me through my early 20s. So what I do is by insisting, everything has a place. It's accessible. It is designed to be the easiest way possible. But if you want to get this out, you need to critically assess, do I have time to get it out, do it, and put it away? Because if I can't meet all of those qualifications, I don't actually have time to really enjoy the activity. And again, if you're in the middle of working on a project and I walk in and be like, all right, kid, we got to go do a thing. I'm not going to make them stop with their craft right there. Just leave it there. When we get back, we will either decide if we can continue or if it's time to stow it away carefully and you can resume the next time. Like, no, none of my aesthetic keeping rules are like
rigid.
Iron.
Right.
Rigid. everything's super flexible. But to me, it's important to teach my kids time management. And I'm doing that with putting your shit away.
Yeah. And that's like for us being away is, hey, you took out that basket of colored pencils and you're mm-hmm. done using it. So now make sure all the colored pencils go back inside the basket and that the basket goes back on the cart.
Yeah.
Very similar concepts. Yours would just have it an extra step further.
Yeah.
Yep. And that's okay.
There's no one right way to parent or decorate your house. That was our timer.
Yeah. I was waiting for it. I was like, I could sense it. It's coming.
Thanks for listening to Child Proof from Betches Media. We want to hear from you. What sort of system have you developed for your kids' craft shit? Because all of our kids have craft shit.
What's your specific aesthetic? Email us, childproof@betches.com, and be sure to give us a follow. I'm Tori Phantom. She's Mama Cusses, and make sure you're following Betches Moms, too.
Don't forget to order my book anywhere you buy books.
Or just go to the store. It's there. You can just go pick it up off the shelf. Very exciting. Very exciting. By TikTok sensation Gwenna Lathlin. That book is available now. You should read it. And also tune in every Wednesday, everywhere you listen to your favorite podcasts. Make sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode. And leave us a rating.
And remember, sometimes our kids are assholes.
And sometimes it's us.
Childproof is produced by Rebecca Salzmacat. Editing by Rebecca Salzmacat. Social media by Lauren Salome. Guest booking by Allie Friedlander. Be sure to follow us at Betches Moms on Instagram and send your email to childproof@betches.com.
Thank you to our sponsor, Splash Refresher. Meet the water beverage that loves self-care as much as you. Just because you have to hydrate doesn't mean it has to be tasteless. Splash Refresher makes hydration deliciously easy, perfectly blending refreshing fruit flavors with just a little bit of sweetness, all with zero sugar and zero calories.
Available in 5 craveable flavors, there's a flavor for everyone to enjoy. My favorite flavor is the lemon.
The mandarin orange is my favorite flavor. Consider your hydrated self thriving. Find Splash Refresher today on Amazon and Instacart or at your local Walmart, Sam's Club, or Kroger.
Betches.